Is Chris, and we're Generation Goat. How's it going?
Hey, it's going. How's it going with you?
Happy New Year. It's 2012.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you. This is episode number 61. We've been putting them out for a while now.
You know?
Pretty much like clockwork.
Like clockwork. It's been a good run of shows here.
If you were here last week, of course, we had in-studio guests. We had Andy Hicks was here.
He did
a collection of songs he had written in high school, which was quite good.
There was one called Leprechaun Sledding on a Hill of Vaseline.
That was awesome.
That was
epic.
That was great.
If we're lucky, we'll get him back in to do that for us.
Yeah. I hope that those have been getting out there, because I would hate that such radio gold or podcasting gold lost to the
it's true
to history.
So it was pretty good. We just finished our three-part author interview series with Andre Dubois III.
Yes,
was quite good.
We did.
Was pretty exciting. So
I
don't know. I mean, after all that epic stuff, what's really left for?
For this
week's goat. I mean, I'm sorry. It sounds like we're phoning this one in, but you got to admit, we've been busting our ass.
We have. I mean, you guys have seen it. I mean, I know we started off slow. We were doing one a month or one every couple months for those first couple years there. But the last 6 months or so, like clockwork, man.
It's been weird too, because of course a lot's changed, obviously, for the goat. Our biggest fan has moved out to apparently Santorum country.
Detroit Rock City.
That's rough. But the upside, of course, is it's Detroit, so you can buy a whole neighborhood for the price of one house.
This is true.
Too soon. Here we are, man. And we should mention that we're completely full of it. Sorry you've been away for so long.
I think if we had tried, we probably could have gotten through the entire episode pretending.
It would have been much better than what we're actually going to do, so you might as well just go now.
Last time you and I spoke, it was...
Summer,
pre-podcamp.
Pre-podcamp. Of course, our last episode was with the aforementioned friend. So, hi, RT. Thanks for stepping in.
Yeah, and that was... that was like a 15-minute episode. The last time we've done anything of any sort of substantial length. We can't even remember.
But we're here, and it's 2012, and from now until the world ends, we're gonna do this thing.
Yeah. I mean, so we got a time carved out. We got a time picked that
That's
we're gonna
right.
sit here, and we're gonna do this weekly. I don't know.
Possibly, yeah. I finally got the monkey off my back. The dissertation went away this past Wednesday, so...
Congratulations.
Thank you, maybe. we'll see. I expect to fail, but we'll hope not.
Big accomplishment just to get it done.
It's done.
Yeah.
It was a pretty awful week of staying up all night, every night, and realizing I'm too old for this many overnight writing stints. I'm just too old.
We're both too old.
Waking up with the shakes.
Yeah.
Just not good.
I don't know. I feel like I'm too old for... What am I too old for? For
thinking? Podcasting.
Podcasting.
Yeah.
I'm too legit to quit, though.
That's right. Can you do the thing there?
No.
Too legit. I'm doing hand signs.
I am not capable of the hand signs. Not that talented.
Yeah, I remember from the video and thinking it was the most awkward thing ever. And it was. I just did it, and I can tell you it was. Just YouTube it. Although MC Hammer's like, he's a preacher now?
Preacher and Twitterer.
And tax evader? Or is that just...
I don't know in that order. Was it
Wesley
tax
Snipes.
Evader first, then preacher, then
Maybe
Twitterer.
I'm thinking of Wesley Snipes.
You're not thinking of Wesley Crusher.
No.
Who is also a Twitterer.
Right.
Mm.
No.
Yeah. No. He has a kid of college age, I think.
I saw that.
It's an adopted kid, right?
On Google Plus, it was very uncomfortable. Like, no, Wesley can't be that old, because if Wesley's that old, oh,
fuck.
I turned 33 on February 1st. So, hooray.
Yeah, I turned 34 back in October. So.
Very nearly dead. Yes. Now. And it's sad, really.
Yeah. Well, but, okay, not to be, like, totally bring it down, but, like, still alive. The other day...
Still breathing.
My... With
great labor.
The other day... you alright?
Yeah, I'm just fat. I'm just becoming fat. But now the dissertation is over, that's priority number one.
I was... This is going to sound stupid, and you might hit me, but I was losing weight beyond when... I did not hit
that. You can be assured, listener.
Beyond when I wanted to lose weight. So, like, a couple weeks ago, I was...
Oh, no.
No, okay, so... All right, long story short.
You're like the bitch who calls up. It's like, I'm too skinny for my wedding dress. Help.
I was losing weight while eating ridiculous amounts of bad food, and I once had...
That's the dream. That's the dream.
I had a boss once who, because I came in to work every day thinking I had one illness or another, she gave me a book titled The Hypochondriac's Guide to Life and Death. So... the moral or the end of that story is he worried, and then eventually he got cancer. So not a book to not a book to read. But so I mention this
if you're a hypochondriac, read this book because it will tell you that no matter what you do, no matter how careful you are, no matter how many precautions you take, you will get cancer.
So I
solid move.
Yeah. So while I've been, like, continuing to lose weight while not wanting to lose any more weight, I've actually gotten pretty scared. So last week, I gained just a little bit, and I was very happy. Because have we mentioned we both have new jobs? I can't talk about my...
Yeah, Chris is, like, working for the mob.
Yeah, but so I was at my newer job, and...
We're going to have to make up an occupation. Since we can't talk about it, it's going to be really boring.
Yeah.
Where do you want to work?
Good question.
Maybe we should have a contest. Where does Chris work? Send us the most interesting thing, and we will talk about it in the podcast as if it really happens.
Well, so I was working with someone the other day, and they actually made a comment on my weight and said something to the effect of, "It, you don't eat meat, do you?" Which was a strange way of putting you're really skinny.
Is that like a really weird pickup line?
I hope not. Yeah, so anyway, I was getting skinnier than I wanted to be, and I'm glad that, that has, I think, stopped.
Yeah, thank God nightmare is over. Yes, son of a bitch. It was hard to be healthy and write a dissertation at the same time.
Yeah.
There were 2 days last week where I remember ordering food twice because I didn't have the time to make anything. Mm. Even ramen seemed like it took too much time.
Yeah.
So priority number one.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a good priority. Here's the thing, like, oh, gosh, can I talk about this without talking?
Chris was at Kinko's, where he worked.
No. This is the weight thing, without sounding like an asshole. Can I talk about being skinny without sounding like an asshole? So while I was worried about this weight loss that was continuing without me... Because for a while there, I wasn't doing any exercising, and I was eating terribly, and I was still losing weight. So that's where the...
Well, you've been exercising for a long time, so your metabolism probably just works better right now.
Right. Okay. You're making me feel better. I'm gonna stop.
No, but that's like a thing that happens. Yeah. Isn't it? Like when you're like me and you're 20, 25 pounds over ideal weight, actually more like 30, let's be honest. you know, I mean it's actually really hard to kind of get your body not to just plateau instantly even if you start, you know, eating responsibly and doing light exercise. Like once you get in the habit of exercising, your body gets in the habit of not storing as much food. Right. Because it, you know, starts to recognize, like, oh, it's okay.
Yeah. That makes a lot more sense than my paranoia.
Yeah. I'm sure it's probably just because you've been doing the right thing for a while. And, yeah. I mean, you know.
So, good. But my point...
I still am just secretly hating Chris
O'Donnell. Well, my point was, like, even when that was happening, I didn't want to stop. I got back into an exercise routine, and I didn't want to stop exercising, even though I feared I was losing too much weight. Because, and this is why I think it's a good idea, good thing that that's, you know, like, your top priority. Like, it makes you feel better.
Yeah.
Like, to get out and get active in any particular way.
True.
It does make you feel better. It does make you stress. My stress level goes down appreciably on days that I exercise versus days that I don't.
Long story short, the reason that we haven't had Generation Goat is Chris got cancer. he's bald now.
Yeah. I do have I have this spot in the back of my head.
Don't pull at it.
No, I'm not trying to pull at it, but it depending on how I comb my hair, it feels like it's a bald
actually,
spot.
Yeah, it's a funny point, because like, I have a similar spot in my head, which is not balding at all. Mm. I had someone cut my hair recently, and I said, so, what's going on up there?
Yeah.
And I should worry about it, and they were like, no, it's fine. Yeah. Your hair looks perfectly fine. I'm like, oh, okay. But like, I have this like phobia now, when I'm like parting my hair or like pushing it around. Like, what happens if I pull at that spot too much? As if it were like the stuffing in a couch.
Right.
Like, I'm like, oh God, I've pulled all the hair out.
Yeah. But yeah. Well, my last few was like 2 or 3 haircuts ago. It was over the summer, right before the play that I did. I went to go get a haircut, and she mentioned my receding hairline. At the corners.
Did you punch her in the neck?
I did. She said, well, and so we have a little, you know, it's receding just a bit in this, it's receding just a little bit right here. We're going to, you know, we can cut it in a particular way. You know, you probably don't want to part it on this side right now.
You know what else goes well with that receding hairline? The back of my hand. horrible thing to say to
she
someone.
She was very nice about it.
That's like the woman at Weight Watchers being like, all right, so 1.5 pounds this week. That's pretty good. Still a chubster, but, you know. Good for you, fatty.
Yeah, well.
Or maybe she only says that to me. I don't know. But wait, what?
Wait, what? You've been going to Weight Watchers?
No. That's wow. Yeah, actually, I had a similar moment. My hairline's not really receding at all, but I have this kind of like odd spot in the front right of my forehead, which is like a little bit higher.
Yeah.
And I went to get my haircut one time in York, and the guy was like, "Oh, starting to lose your hair, are you?" And I was like.
Jesus.
No, although I came here to lose some hair.
Right.
He's like, oh, did you try to cut this yourself then? I'm like, no. He's like, well, it looks weird, so you're either losing your hair or you're lying to me. I'm like, I'm going to go.
I'm going to, yeah. You know, there are many barbers in the world. I do not need to take your crap.
Yeah, but I was just like, no, but I'll tell you what, you just lost a customer.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
So... Yeah, so there's more that's happened in these 6 months than we could possibly go over in one show.
I know. You'll notice the intro of the show. I did not say Chris is from GeekForce5.com because there is no GeekForce5.com.
No, there's not.
It exists.
The site's still there, I stepped away from it just because there was so much going on and... I wanted to focus more on the writing, and of course that's sort of the other thing that's happened. Writing and creative projects have picked up in a huge way.
It's true.
So, you know, it's kind of it's sad because it was a pretty popular. Popular is the wrong word, but it was an active site. There was an active community there, and
I maintain the server. It gets a lot of traffic even now.
Yeah. So I mean, it's. I think that content will live on in something I have in mind for the future for eChristopherClark.com, where I sort of want to take all of my blogs and put them in one place. And then I think, you know, there's a possibility that something cool could happen from Geek Force that wasn't necessarily yet another pop culture blog. I mean, that's... Well, two things were the cause there. One, there are so many pop culture blogs out there that I... felt like, and probably didn't, I'm probably being too harsh, but I felt like I didn't have a differentiating factor that was strong enough to sort of bring people in, aside from the people who already were there. And then the other thing was just not having enough time. But I think, that. You know, there's something to be done with that domain name, I think, at some point.
Oh, sure.
I don't know what it is.
Right now, I just have it pointing at porn, but...
Yeah, you know.
Eventually.
That's why it's getting the traffic.
It is getting the traffic, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And you did a little tweak on your website.
I did. Yeah, my website kind of went away for a little while. Didn't really have a choice. It's, you know, with dissertation or the website. The website is free, doesn't make me much money. It actually doesn't make me any money. right. And the dissertation cost over $110,000. So it was an easy choice, but kind of a sad one. Yeah, so I've redesigned the kind of utility of the site so that it's more magazine-like. Mm-hmm. There'll be a... If you go to it now, there's a right-hand column, which is news that will update independent of the left-hand column, which will be reviews.
Yeah.
And actually, starting this weekend, I'm gonna get through my impressive backlog of submissions and start adding new content, so hooray for that. Yeah, so it'll be good. I felt like a real jerk because I've been getting emails and, you know, continuously and from very nice people with good music who are like, hey, can you get this on your site? And I'm like, yes, I can, but not right now.
Right.
So, yeah, part of, you know, going forward, like, what, because I'm, you know, okay, so I've just finished this dissertation, but it's not approved yet. I haven't passed yet.
Right.
So I can't really apply for good jobs right now. I have to wait until it's done. So I have this like half a year probably or more where I'm basically able to just live my life and do other work. And so part of that time, I think, is to come up with a sustainable strategy for the website.
Yeah.
I'd really like to, you know, make it work. And I'd like to maybe eventually find some contributors or interns so I don't have to do all the reviewing myself, because I get a lot. I get a lot of stuff. Every day I get about 50 emails, and granted, you know, 35 of those are from PR people who have just put you on a mailing list.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
You know, that's Finland's premier black metal band.
I like those guys.
Yeah, that's great. Oh, look, some up-and-coming young hip-hop lady from Iowa.
Yes.
I'll jump on that. But, you know...
I love it when people haven't read the publication that they're submitting to.
Although the worst thing is when they have, when they email you and they're like, hey, John, I really like your site. You wrote about these guys and those guys and you said this thing and I really dig that because I like that too.
Yeah.
And then you're like, I really want to post your thing now just because you're cool. But I can't.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the project for this weekend. But it's tough, man. Like... Mm. Having all this other stuff, I mean, all the work you're doing down at the soup kitchen, combined with.
Yeah, I mean, soup kitchen and then still teaching. And then, you know, I acted in that play that we talked about way back in the summer.
That's true.
Which went very well.
It was then, good. There was like a mostly naked lady in it.
There was.
Wait.
And I was.
I think there was other stuff too.
Yeah, there was. I think I was okay in it. But there was a mostly naked lady, and that tends to...
The good thing about... The really good thing about you in that play is that you didn't distract
from... Distract from the mostly the naked lady. Yeah. That should win me an award, I think. Yeah. There should be a special Spotlight Award, Seiko Spotlight Award, just for me not ruining it.
The best not cock block of the year.
Yeah.
Is too.
Yeah.
But I mean, no, it was good. It was a good show and nice people and
It was fun. I mean, and I've made a bunch of good friends out of that experience, and so since then did a small role in A Christmas Carol, and then since then I have a play that
weirdly there was a mostly naked lady in that one too.
Yeah, there was. Yeah. It's completely intentional too.
Mrs. Cratchit. Check it all off.
Modern day retelling.
It was,
you know,
the weirdest thing.
It was. You know,
turkey was
impressive.
Not the only thing getting stuffed. it was very unpleasant, and it was billed as a family show, and you know,
Well, you know.
So Chris doesn't do theater anymore in New Hampshire. He's actually legally barred.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is why your play this weekend is in Boston.
Yeah, this is true. Yeah, there's a play. Depending on when we get this up, it may or may not have already happened yet. But we're doing this combination play / musical performance called Crossroads or the Piano of Death, it's pretty near and dear. We did perform it on the sly in New Hampshire, you know, before the cops came and grabbed me.
Roadside production. It was at a rest area off of 89.
And that was, it was honestly, it was my first experience,
with outdoor theater.
With outdoor theater.
Yeah.
It was my first experience with somebody else directing my work, since college.
Huh.
And in fact, most of the stuff I did in college, I directed myself. There was one show I wrote for a friend, and then he performed it. But I had been hoping since getting back into theater in 2010 that I would get this chance to hand over my script, let someone else do their thing with it, and not really be involved. And I was really emotional watching it. I think because it's a good play, I'm not sure, but because... it was, you know, a roadside performance, very small audience.
All those trucks going by, too. It
yeah.
was very weird.
Yeah, but I was, I think, emotional because it was good, but the performances were strong. The music that worked into it really well. So it was truly a collaboration, cool. And that's been pretty cool. And then I've got another play somebody else is directing coming up next month.
Crazy.
As part of an evening of apocalyptic theater.
Ooh.
Which I don't even know if I'd written it by the last time that we...
I don't think so.
I wrote it and then submitted it for consideration and then was waiting for a couple months to find out. And now that's going to cool. be directed by somebody. And it's actually funny. Yeah. I haven't written a lot of funny
it's things. It's true. Chris is not funny.
No, not at all. But so I think
the people down at the factory he works at are always saying that.
Yeah, the factory, the soup kitchen. I work at a lot of places.
Dude's always on the go.
And yeah, so that one's happening, and then there's a play we're working on.
That's true. We did start working on something we had played with a long time ago, which we were originally hoping to pitch for the Players' Ring, but I screwed that up by having a dissertation.
Again, something that pays you maybe a little bit versus something that pays, you know, that is you've been paying for and that may be the key to you getting paid in the future.
Yeah. Even Shakespeare had to get paid, so...
Yeah,
it's true. So, sadly...
Won't be pitching it, but, you know...
Won't be pitching it.
The thing is, like, I think... rushing that kind of thing,
but we should still finish it.
Yeah, we'll finish it eventually, but rushing that sort of thing can sometimes be a real drag.
We'll act it out on Generation Goat.
Yes,
we'll do all the voices.
We'll do a radio drama.
I think we know a guy who might be able to help us out there.
We do. We know a guy.
That's right. And we live just a few doors away from. Well, we're currently a few doors away from a certain other guy who might be able to help us out.
Mm. Hmm.
So, well, he's not technically there anymore, but...
Yeah.
His aura lives on. The mighty Ken Mills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I guess this is... Nobody that's listening is going to get this, but remind me, there's... all right. Don't you love those moments? This is where RT is laughing.
Because our podcast is back, baby.
It's like, Chris does that sort of thing. I'm going to tell you something, but I'm not going to tell you something. But now I'm going to tell you something, but now I'm not going
to. We are back. Yeah.
There's part of the play is that we're working on, you and I, is based on the band we were in once upon a time.
That was not the name of the band. We were once upon a time.
And so there's an approximation of our friend Ken Mills, who's not going to be named Ken Mills, we swear.
Right.
And
it's possible that in the script it says Ken.
Yeah, it is possible. So I think for a while there, you or I were thinking about, one of us was thinking about being
gold.
Was thinking about playing that character if we put it on. I actually think I've found somebody who would be perfect for that.
Is his name also Chris?
No.
Oh, that was my feeling.
Yeah, no, he would be good.
We know another guy.
We know another guy named Chris who would be fantastic in that part.
It really would.
I don't know where he lives or where he's at now.
If you're out there, buddy, come home.
Come home. Last time, no, I've seen him since then. I was going to say, the last time you and me and him, no. Okay, I was going to say, that video that we made ages and ages ago.
We said we'd never speak of that.
Whoops.
Oh, the music
video. The music video, yeah, not the other one.
We'll just edit that bit out.
Yeah. Cut that part. That's for the intern to do, right?
Wow. Okay.
And yeah, interns are really reliable, so I'm sure she's going to do it.
She's really pissed since your website closed.
Yeah. I had an intern.
You didn't pay her either.
I had an intern on the website for a little while, in theory.
I need interns. I was jealous. I didn't even want one until you had one. I was like, I want one. Or like a grad student.
Yeah. Well, she was around for like a day here and a day there. And it worked out wonderfully.
Still, just somebody could be like, hey, could you do this thing? And they would do it. And it just, you know.
Yeah.
You might as well be Galactus at that point. Got the Infinity Gauntlet.
Galactus didn't have the Infinity Gauntlet, did he?
Didn't he get it?
I thought...
Thanos.
Thanos, yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah. I don't think the Infinity Gauntlet would fit on Galactus' hand. He's like a big...
That's a fair point, but the dude wanted it, which was the driving force of the... Yeah.
Yeah.
We're there. We're fine.
We're there.
You just wait a minute. We'll get to your podcast.
But, you know, speaking of the Infinity Gauntlet...
Geek fail.
Did you know that the Infinity Gauntlet was supposed to be in the Odin's treasure room in the Thor movie? Like, they actually have still photos of it. I don't think there are any deleted... It's not in the deleted scenes, as far as I know.
What a ridiculous thing to just put in a box in a room somewhere. I mean, granted, Ark of the Covenant also being looked at by top men.
Yeah.
But still, like, you know.
Silly thing to have there. I don't remember when Thor and Cap came out. We probably had seen Thor by the last time we podcasted. But so in terms of movies, Thor and Cap both came out. And now we've got the Avengers to look forward to.
It's true.
And the Avengers trailers, which have come out, have been pretty badass.
Yeah, pretty exciting. I'm looking forward to it.
The one thing I had worried about was I'd heard some reports that they weren't all on set together all that much. So I was worried, like, is it just going to be, like, these two people doing one thing and these two people doing another
thing? Please don't George Lucas our movie.
Yeah. But then in the Super Bowl trailer, and especially in the extended Super Bowl trailer that came out, the you got, like, the five or six of them in this sort of circling shot, and they're all standing back to back, looking up at the sky at whatever it is that Loki's conjured up. Pretty badass. And probably the only cool thing about the Super Bowl was that
I don't say that because I'm not a huge football fan, sorry, surprise. You know, so I don't say it because our team lost, but just the whole thing was just so boring and so, like, the commercials weren't memorable. You know, I was, the whole time Madonna was performing, I was thinking, oh god, I hope that nice lady doesn't break her hip.
I mean,
she was, like, dancing and singing in slow motion, and it was just, like, pointless.
Yeah, that nice old lady, she, I don't know what she did with Madonna, but, yeah.
And they wheeled out CeeLo, who looked impossibly awkward, and was, I mean, and then, like, during, like, a prayer, he looked like the happiest kid in your high school musical. Like, he just is like, I'm finally on stage.
I mean, I have to admit, like, during the thing, I was pretty excited to see CeeLo. Like, when CeeLo came out and they did...
Maybe the first time, but he was in everything all night. He was in that, and then he was, like, in the next commercial after that, and then he was in another commercial, and then they asked him questions at one point during the game. It was just kind of like, dude, did you blow all the fuck you money? Did you blow it on blow? Do you owe a guy? Like, why are you here? Like, surely there's something else you could be doing. Are you the only star in America judged appropriate for this event?
I
don't know. It was very odd to me that CeeLo was in everything all night long.
I mean, but he's CeeLo.
I know, but, you know, really?
Yeah.
All night long? It's just... Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know. It was very odd, but you know, poor Madonna.
I mean, at least there was no wardrobe malfunction. I mean, this is the first time outside of Fergie.
Margaret Thatcher naked on a cold day. Margaret Thatcher naked on a cold day.
This is the first time outside of Fergie from the Black Eyed Peas or Bruce Springsteen's wife that there's been woman part of the as part of the halftime show. Maybe there were some other female band members somewhere along the way. Since the Janet Jackson
there thing. Was at least one boobie in there.
I think the one thing that definitely happened, if I recall correctly, because I haven't watched the news since...
Do you think that's the plan? They're just like, if we don't put any breasts on the stage, then they can't get out.
I think that is the plan. I mean, I think...
Like, they're dangerous chemicals or something?
I think the FCC and NBC and ABC and CBS, not ABC anymore, they're not involved, but NBC, CBS, Fox, and the FCC, they all fear the boob.
But wasn't there some sort of brouhaha on Fox because that Nicki Minaj...
That's what I was going to say. She
flipped somebody off or
she,
something?
Like, gave somebody the finger, yeah.
During football, where men who weigh 300 pounds throw each other at each other.
If you're not careful and you've got a mic anywhere close to the sidelines, you can hear guys spewing more vulgarity than just about anywhere else on the planet.
Why shouldn't our entertainment actually reflect our culture? Wouldn't that... I mean, if you were concerned about the morality of culture, wouldn't that be a better impetus to improve culture rather than pretending that only bad people do those things? Mm. Anyway, I don't know. But, yeah, it was... Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But on the upside, we didn't get to, you know, get knocked over by Bruce Springsteen's crotch this time.
This is true. But male crotches, apparently less threatening than
half-naked boobs. But also a topic of discussion, because there was that bizarre rope guy. Who looked like, I thought it was Richard Simmons. At first, I really thought it was Richard Simmons. I saw his afro, and I was like...
I thought it was performance art to see, like, could the guy castrate himself there on stage in front of America?
I mean, you know, I saw Madonna, and I thought, okay, old people. And then I saw Richard Simmons, and I thought, oh, wow, we're sweating in the oldies in the halftime show. That's brilliant. Well done.
Nice.
This is, like, a big push to get Americans to exercise right now during a sport. Well done, everybody. Mm-hmm. But no, it was just some freak with a rope and apparently no testicles. Yeah. So, well done.
Well... So that's just a little bit of what's been going on since...
Yeah, since I guess the point is we're still here.
We are still here, and we're committing ourselves to do it again next week.
That's right, and we have all kinds of other stuff to actually talk about, but we thought we would just, you know, throw this out as a teaser. And at some point, there's some discussion of a very long goat, which might even be multi-part.
I mean, I think there's... I think... We got something. Here's the thing, and I'll make this my last thought. Like, I closed down Geek Force 5,
He hates you.
Yes,
and
because
what you did.
Because I hate you. Yes, but no. I mean, I closed it down, but I don't. I mean, and I feel like I lost something, but I feel like this space, this podcast is certainly a place for a lot of that energy to go. I feel like the conversations that I want to have about weird geeky stuff, about serious artistic stuff, like, it all fits here, and I think this is a natural place to put that stuff.
That's code for we're going to try to class up the joint eventually.
That's not code for that. That's code for we're going to try to class up the joint and somehow start talking about the Avengers for 40 minutes. Like, this is what happens when I teach. Like, I try to teach them about literature, and I end up talking to them about...
It's Joss Whedon.
Weekend at Bernie's.
It's a comic book movie, and it's Joss Whedon. I mean, you know, done. Sold.
Yes.
I mean, the amazing thing about it is that it made me care about Thor and Captain America as standalone movies. Two characters that, when I read comics, I was just like, oh, these guys. I honestly had the same feelings about them that I had about, like, Superman. I mean, Superman might as well be like Betty or Veronica or, you know, something. I'm just like, oh, wow, it's Superman.
Well, you know, DC, since we last talked, DC rebooted the universe, and I don't know if you know, but they've said that Superman is the love child of Betty and Veronica.
Nice.
That's part of the new...
That's pretty cool. Superman's got two moms.
That's part of the new...
that's cool.
It is. I mean, it's part of the new DCU. They're trying to avoid getting sued by Jerry Siegel, Joe Shuster, whoever it is that's suing them, so they're reinventing the whole origin story, and yeah, he's got two moms.
Nice. I like that. That's kind of cool. Superman and two moms.
Yeah.
Nice. Is that why... I was reading the line that Lois Lane gets involved with one of... the moms? Is that because they meet and then...
Oh, yeah. You know
it's,
it.
It's awesome. You know it.
You better be picking up Superman.
That's enough to actually make me read a DC comic on purpose. Huh. Interesting. Cool. Well, anyway. So, we're here. And hopefully next Friday there'll be a goat of, some quality.
Some quality.
But we're still here. And it's,
we are.
We hope you're there because this will be possibly awkward if we're just talking to my computer.
Yeah.
All right, anything else before we go?
No, I mean, I think, you know, we're on the road to nowhere.
Right. And, stay in school.
Yeah.
Don't do drugs.
Yeah. I'm just gonna keep saying yeah. Bye, guys.
All right. So we'll see you next time. Take care. Bye.